Well, how do you like me now? I my goodness. I had taken a couple of days off because I had to take a couple of days off. I was kind of under the weather. And every time I thought I was in good shape, I got this awful feeling, and I said, you know what I need to do is just rest. Just rest. I've been running like a mad woman all over the place, trying to get my house clean and things that need to be gone from here and need to be gone. Old clothes that you're not using anymore. Even dishes and pots and pans. It was a hectic assignment. So it taught me a lesson or two. And one of the main lessons is that you don't push yourself beyond where your body can go. So I'm under no illusions, or is it delusions, that I'm a young person. I'm old, and we have to watch ourselves. I say that half jokingly, but it's actually true. You have to watch yourself. You have to pace yourself and listen to your body. It's telling you something. When you're so tired that you can't sleep, you can't rest, that's pushing it beyond the boundaries. So move back a bit, calm down a bit, and you'll find that your body is going to give you permission at whatever point it decides to do so. It'll give you some permission whenever it's ready, and you just have to go with the flow. So here I am going with the flow. I hope you're well. I hope you had a good week and that you're ready to take on this week. So much going on in the news. And frankly, as I listened to the news in the last week, it got me so depressed. It was such a depressing factor. Because you say to yourself, when would this end? What will it take to end this? And by this, I mean these vicious cycles that we go through. Of course, it is election time, and leading up to the election, it seems as if the country loses its mind. And then the media cover stories that really deserve very little, if any, coverage. And they bring you straight to the epicenter of what they call news, and it isn't news. Is it news, really? I guess in a way it is, but do we really have to know that Donald Trump's oldest son, Junior, takes delight in calling Joe Biden a pedophile? Is it really news that people's attention is drawn to the saga of the royals in California, having left Britain and have come to a new life, living in a $14 million, whatever it is, home, and are attempting to start a new life with each other and their baby? I don't think so. I don't want to hear any of that stuff. In fact, I find them to be the most tiresome and tiring people at the moment. But are we hearing about progress being made in the case or investigation of the case of Ahmad? Oh, I said Ahmad, I didn't see his last name, Aubrey, out in Georgia. The young man who was shot to death while he was jogging through his neighborhood. Young black man. What we really want to know, we don't have ready access to, because the people who tell us what news is and what's important and what takes priority in our lives, they have an entirely different point of reference. And that includes, now that the election season is gearing up, it seems as if Trump is to be left alone and everybody's supposed to protect him and cover him all the way through victory in November. And you, from time to time, because I had some time to just think about these things, is this what it has come to? Is this what this great country has come to? A clearly unstable president just cutting his way through everything, leaving carcasses wherever he goes. It's his trademark. It's his sons. He's passed it to his sons now. They're just as obnoxious, ill-mannered, racist as he is. Is this the best that America could be? When at the peak of an election campaign, you have to dig real deep to find what the issues are. There are no issues, really. It's attitudes. They're covering attitudes as if they were issues, and they're not. And even so, they're not getting close to what really is at the center. I mean, when you have a president seeking re-election who is so clearly maladjusted, mentally off, gross and crass, ill-mannered, ill-tempered, doing all kinds of things that are outside of the norm. And the early approach from the media is that, this makes him entertaining. This is what makes Trump Trump. He listens to nobody. He's his own man. He does what he wants. And little by little, whatever we had left of a nation of ideals and norms and mores is whittled away. And we have now a nasty, a whole national attitude that says we obey no laws but our own. We make our own laws. We do whatever we want to do. And you have no choice but to live with it. And if you don't like it, you'll have to wait every 4 years to exact your version of revenge. But we have that locked up. We've got you. You're not going to win. It is a really sad place to be and very disconcerting because you know what you're seeing. You know what you're experiencing. You know this is, even if somebody had forecast this, you know you would be unwilling to accept that forecast because you can't imagine that this country could descend to such low depths. You can't imagine it. And yet, that's what we've had for 3 years. And it is proposed that we will have it for a whole other term, or for as long as Trump wants to keep us hostage. But it's more so that we keep ourselves hostage. Do we have to put up with this? Is this what is envisioned, or what has been envisioned as a country that proudly takes its place in the world community of nations? Is this what it is? Is this what we are experiencing? Is this the best that this country can be and give? Are we proud to say we are Americans when we have something like that occupying the White House? And then there are more. There are more Trumps and Trump-like individuals who have literally taken over this country and are ruling it. They have a hold of the strategic resources of the society. They control many of its vital functions. And they have grown a political base that is prepared to go to battle to sustain Donald Trump and his ilk. We don't see the right reaction with those who should disagree and who we know do disagree. They are consumed, it seems, with protecting their own turf and covering their own butts. So they're not particularly engaged on a day-to-day basis as a Trump camp is. Trump is engaged day to day with disassembling this country, smashing it to pieces, and creating a new thing to his image and likeness, which is where he gets his idea. And it's not just an idea that he's a god. He's, as he called himself, the chosen one. The stable genius and other such ridiculous titles he has assigned himself. But no matter how you look at it, the fact is you can't deny that he has made real, made manifest his vision, and in a very short time. We, on the other hand, are on the sidelines. There are no mechanisms really that work for us except those that are designed in an ad hoc fashion. We react to this thing now, and then we react to that thing next, and then we wait until something else happens so that we can react. But it is not a sustained effort. We don't have a plan. We don't have a vision. And worse, we are not prepared to back up whatever it is we define as our vision with action. That's the problem. That's a problem. It's one of many problems that we have. Because working surreptitiously in all of this is the country's history of racial and class divisions. We can't get our act together because we can't agree on the basics. Is everybody alike? Is everybody American? Is everybody dedicated to justice? Is everybody in line with a society that is fair, that gives everyone an equal shake? We haven't even jumped over that fence yet. We keep talking about it. We keep hoping for it. But we are not working at it. So, this notion of inferiority and superiority rules us. It stymies our movements and progress, it kills initiative. And so, a guy like Trump, who, if the world were fair, wouldn't have a chance in this world. He would be absolutely rejected on so many levels because he doesn't measure up. A liar, an inveterate and unconscionable liar. A man with no, I should shouldn't say no, a man with highly questionable morals. A man who doesn't see the world very much outside of himself and his interests. A larcenous heart. What can I get out of this for me? How do I make money out of this? A man with no compassion. Isn't it interesting that with all the deaths and the cases of coronavirus we have seen specifically in the United States? The suffering. He has yet to acknowledge it in a way that any human being would. To comfort the nation, he doesn't have the capacity to do that. It's an unimportant. He's alive, that's important. The fact that some other people are not alive, that's not important. Or some people are suffering, not important. He is alive. That's not only important, that is the important thing. And we should all be conditioned that way. Don't worry about yourself. Don't worry about your neighbors. Don't worry about your community. Worry that he should be sustained. He should come through because in him, the second coming of Christ, as he says, he references himself in this fashion, which tells you psychologically, there's a lot of work to be done there. Our job is to do what needs to be done, as he defines it, so that he can be sustained. Our lives are nothing unless invested in his life and his life's goals. Well, that's the very definition of crazy. But look how well people have adjusted to it and embraced the idea and have accepted it. Our Congress, from time to time, they pick a fight over a small issue. But the man himself still stands. What he thinks still stands. What he wants still stands. Unchallenged. What does that say about us? We know this emperor has no clothes, but we will not say it, let alone do anything about it. He, as president of the United States, represents the entire country. So as he behaves and as he thinks, the idea is, so does America. Because after all, he is America. He is America. We put up with him. We put up with his progeny, who in the real world would be considered unsuitable to take care of pets, to take care of a dog or a cat. They can't be trusted with that. They don't have the capacity for that. Yet, They're helping to run one of the most powerful countries in the world. They're getting paid very nice salaries for just being Trump. And the thing is, not only that this is occurring, but that this is all occurring in our faces, with the expectation that you can do nothing about it. And even if you try, they got you. So what is this? What is our reality, our day-to-day reality? You wake up in the morning, and what is your consciousness about how you are living? Under what circumstances are you living? What is your impression of living in a, quote, free society, unquote, where you control nothing, you affect nothing, except at certain times of the year or certain after a certain number of years, you're called upon to perform, you know, the ritual. You go and vote. And it's on this flimsy basis, this unacceptable basis, that we have a contract. We call this a contract between the people and the leaders. And the leader of the country. What does it say about us? How could we possibly tolerate this kind of life? When somebody completely unsuited and unqualified to lead has no idea what leadership is. But I'll be damned, all over the world, he is the leader. So What happened here? Have we all been administered some kind of virus through the air? We breathe it in and we lose our minds, our ability to think, our ability to see what is happening. Have we all become just plain empty vessels, incapable of governing our own lives and our own communities? What is going on? And how much longer is this going to last? How much longer do we accept this as normal? What are we prepared to do about it? Just as an aside, you may recall that about 2 weeks ago, in reference to the murder of Ahmaud Arbery in Georgia, the guy who was jogging through a community, and next thing you know, he is followed by two white vigilantes who happen to be father and son. Same thing with the Trumps, father and sons, who get their education from the father, see? But I had said two things that you may not have thought about. One was, there's no reason to call in federal government to investigate this case. And if it is deemed necessary, then people have a different kind of thing to think about. Because, according to my understanding, they have a police department, they have a prosecutorial department, they have a criminal justice system. And if you're going to tell me that in 2020, with all the money that is spent to pay these people, the very lucrative salaries that they earn, that even so, they can't do the job. When it comes down to it, it's a straightforward proposition. Was this a murder? When two people, a father and son, with their shotguns and the Magnum 357, hunt down somebody based on whatever their suspicions are, and they come up upon him in a public street and gun him down, and months pass before somebody could make sense of what that was. It took a long time for all of these well-educated, well-paid people whose job it is to regulate society, especially when it goes awry like this. And they can't do it. What did I say? Shut the whole thing down. Shut it down, throw everybody out, and start again. I'll be damned. People are paying their taxes under some crazy assumption that they are citizens, that their rights are to be guaranteed, and that anybody who negates these rights arbitrarily, especially. There has to be an accounting. Somebody's got to pay. Somebody has got to be exposed. Somebody has got to pay. And they're making this as if it is so complicated. People are recusing themselves, and we have this kind of madness going on. What do you mean you recuse yourself? If you're going to recuse yourself, it should come with a resignation. Because the thinking is that you got to where you were, you got your station in life, and you got your job, your ideal job, you got the pay commensurate with the job, all the benefits and so forth. You're living a better life than you were. And you still insist. You don't have to do the right thing. You don't have to, in fact, obey the law. You are the law. Same thing with Trump. You don't have to do anything except that which you wish to do. And I found it to be very bizarre that this would be allowed. And by be allowed, I mean that people in the community would allow this. What do you mean? You recuse yourself, then resign immediately because you're saying you can't handle this job. You can't handle the responsibility of this job. You're terrified of having to investigate two white men, a father and a son, for being open vigilantes to the point of executing a man. No questions asked for the crime of jogging through his neighborhood. Are you kidding me? And the community just stood there and thought this was okay. And their elected officials thought this was okay. I said, if you recall, immediately disband the whole thing. Shut down these functions until such time that you will redesign it in your image and in your likeness. That's right. Well, what do you know? In the Wall Street Journal. What am I reading in the Wall Street Journal? An article saying pretty much the same thing. But even so, saying something different. You shut it down completely, immediately. Don't get too involved in who was right, who was wrong. You shut it down. You're the prosecutor. You can't prosecute. You're out. Your office is out. You're done. You're an investigative detective. You can't investigate. You have nothing to report. In months after this terrible situation, you have no detailed report. You're out of here. You're gone. Shut it down. And get some new people in who understand the new system that will be in place that stresses accountability, respect to the community, and respect to your job. That's your job. I wish if I were a prosecutor and somebody who should be out in the street chasing evidence, asking people questions, talking to people, comes back and tells me, well, what I've uncovered is that a lot of people know a lot of people, and to protect the sanctity of this case, we need to recuse ourselves and give it to the feds. What do you think I don't know what bamboozling is all about? If what you say is truly meant, you're confessing that you cannot do your job or you won't do your job. That's okay by me. You're gone. I will assign a police officer to accompany you to your desk to help you if needed, to clean it out. And within half an hour, you are history. You're not even a fresh memory. The Wall Street Journal is reporting on this surge. The people are calling for the dismantling of a police department. Why? Why are they now calling for the police department to be dismantled? Because of rife corruption, racism, oppression that they have put up with over the years. It took this to finally open their eyes as to what they have been experiencing all these years. To gather up the nerve to say, shut it down and let's start from scratch. Exactly what I said. It is the correct decision. If it says, if you're saying that you can't prosecute the case, well, I'm hearing it differently. What I'm hearing when you say you can't prosecute the case, I'm hearing you won't prosecute the case. And I'll be damned if I were mayor of a town and somebody with some notion of his or her power to independently function and not in the interest of the people, I'll fire you in an instant. You're gone. And we will conduct some interviews and let people know we're looking for fair-minded police officers and others. And we will rebuild our community in our own image and likeness. We're entitled to do that. We can't pay you and feed you and house you and still have to put up with your brutality. No. And if it is the view of the people that this has been the case for many years, that they have tolerated this, then it means that it has been allowed to continue. I'm glad that they showed some degree, a very important degree of courage to say, we are not going to tolerate this. We will shut the police and law enforcement services down until we conduct a thorough investigation, look at all the cases that did not receive justice, in which people's lives were lost. Is it accidental that most of these lives were Black people? No, we have to know, we have to have a reckoning nationwide, a reckoning long overdue and mean business. Never mind on Martin Luther King Day, everybody joins hands and sings, "We shall overcome." The truth of the matter is, you have been overcome. And you allowed it. You allowed it because you were afraid of what you envisioned as the awesome power of the state against your puny effort. But it's not a puny effort. When people consolidate their power and say, "This is intolerable, we're not going to have it." Just like Trump and his behavior. There is no place on the planet where people would think of his behavior as that of a statesman, as that of a sane person. But, we hem and haw a little bit. But he has proven that he can face you down and he can overcome you with his insanity, and you will do nothing. And now his sons have gotten that message. And they're helping him. They're spreading the same contamination. And these are the people running the country. Who don't even know how to use a knife and fork well. But that's where we are. So it's your fault that I felt a little sick and had some time on my hands to do some thinking and now to do some venting. Give them not an inch, not a quarter. You're out. You're out of bounds. But because everybody in your base understands that your sole purpose is to, quote, restore to white America the position of superiority that it has always enjoyed. But now to make it more emphatic, it's not live and let live. It's, as the song says, live and let die. We live, you die. We benefit, you don't. We have money, you don't. We have children in wonderful schools. We don't worry about if they should get sick. You can't. It's time to gear up. Realize what the axes are. They're not playing. They are not playing. They are fighting for every benefit they believe accrues to them by virtue of their position in life. They're not educated, well educated. They're not smart. But they are greedy and self-centered totally. And so it's about them. Their world is about them. All these people who have died, all these people who are still suffering in your own country from the coronavirus infection. And I mean, you're not asking for overwhelming stuff to happen. As a president, you can't say to the nation, let's mourn. Let's mourn. The loss of life has been devastating in our communities. But you see, they look at it very differently. The people who are doing the bulk of the dying are not white. So that immediately puts up a wall, a distance between this racist administration and the people. We're not the people. Real people are not dying. Real people are not suffering. There are entire black communities and Latino communities and Asian communities, non-white communities, who have been ravaged by the coronavirus. You would never think that. When you talk about shutting down different cities and doing testing and so forth, you're not talking about these communities. And we are expected to understand that. The coded language of politics tells us to understand that. We're not talking about you and your communities. What we need from you are strong people who can move the dead bodies out of the wards when they're dead and put them someplace where they can't be seen until they're collected. That's the other experience of the coronavirus, the dying part, the suffering part, the lack of equipment part. There are entire nursing homes that I know of in New York where this virus went through like a broom, just swept people up. But nobody is discussing the fact that a lot of the dying is being done by black people, Latinos, Asians, people of color. They are not, after all, part of our society. You can talk about the coronavirus as a You could lift it out of its natural environment and talk about it as a separate issue, about the impact it will have on shopping and stores closing. That's the white world. You're not talking about stacks of caskets stacked one on top of the other in some places because they can't move fast enough to bring the bodies to the cemetery. They can't cremate them fast enough. These are the black people and the Latinos and the Asians and the other non-white people. That's the experience of the coronavirus. But they speak generically about it so that we don't get a clue that our communities are being destroyed or being permitted to be destroyed. That's the coronavirus we know. I spoke about a friend of mine whose mother died, and they were, quote, banned, unquote. Her children were banned from seeing her as she slipped into her final moments. They couldn't touch her or anything. And this was one heck of a close-knit family. And it's so typical in our communities. You see, so life has different interpretations depending on where it puts you in the society. If you were this young man jogging, you cannot enjoy jogging without being interfered with. And people, they actually said he did not want to answer our questions. Who are you? So he died viciously. And I'm saying it's time for people to understand what the rules are and to adopt new rules, adopt new ways of thinking. Because literally, our lives depend on it, and the lives of those who come behind us depend on it. We should not feel in the least bit embarrassed or unwilling to take this on, to expose what it is we really are suffering. You have close to 900,000 people with a disease, and it doesn't cause a stir in the community where it is dominant. There's no discussion about it. This is what America is, people. Get a grip. They're concerned about which areas to open up for shopping. Because, well, that's what the real people want. But we'll talk about this. I just had to get this off my chest because I had a little extra time. This is what happens to me when I have extra time. I think even more. And then I find out that I don't have any place to put it. So I decided I would get it off my chest today. Not all of it, I haven't, but much of it. Thanks for listening. Well, thanks for bearing with me. And we'll reach out to each other tomorrow and pick up from where we're leaving off today. Thank you again for your indulgence and for your giving spirit. I so appreciate it, and I consider myself extremely lucky, very, very fortunate to have you in my midst. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye. Thank you.